Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
Hey, today we jump back into the James series. There's two left. I'll tell you what, you when we look at James, at some point you may be thinking, I wish he'd take one step back, because he just keeps coming up our street. And I think James is probably the most practical Christian living book in the whole New Testament. Today, chapter 7 is titled this. And by the way, we didn't say it earlier, all of our life groups back in session this week. Today's title is God, Money, and the Last Days. Lock the doors. You've all heard of the Baseball Hall of Fame, I'm sure, in Cooperstown, New York. Pastor Billy visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on his vacation, Lord forgive him, and the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. But did you know that in Lima, Peru, there is a wall of shame? Not a hall of fame, but a wall of shame. It is a huge concrete barrier that separates the rich from the poor. The wealthy had the wall built, this wall of shame. The wealthy had it built so they could protect themselves from the poor in the slums. That wall has become a symbol of a vast divide existing between the rich and the poor, the haves and the haves not. Imagine, if you will, a high wall. Man, I wish I could have had one built for this morning, but the tech team might not have been able to make that one happen. This wall of shame in Lima, Peru. Imagine now a preacher going to the top of it and giving the rich an earful, turning to the other side and encouraging those who are oppressed. Enter James chapter 5. He has something to say to those who were wealthy, and he has something to say to those who had been oppressed. And he couches it all in the setting that we are living in the last days. I'd like you to turn your attention to the big screen, and I'd like to share just a few verses from James 5. You can hear the vitriol in his voice. He says, look here, you rich people. He's talking to Christians now. These are believers. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. We go to verse 7, and he says to those who are being oppressed, be patient now, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. One more verse. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Let's hit the pause button right there and pump the brakes. In those few verses, he mentions the last days or the coming of the Lord 3 times. Interesting. In light of how we handle our money and how we play the game in the last days is very important to James. But let's go back. How many of you remember Biggie Small? Everybody that's under 40. Remember Biggie's album Life After Death and the hit single Mo Money? Y'all been hanging it. You've all been in the club too much. You better tap your neighbor, say, get out the club. Biggie's record, Mo Money, Mo Problems. And James is looking right at those who are wealthy, and He's saying, you ought to start weeping and groaning now. But let me just pause there and say, it's not wrong to have no place in the Bible says it's wrong to have money, a savings account or a retirement fund. In fact, the Bible does say that we should lay up an inheritance for our children. So why does he say weep and moan? I'll tell you why. He told them to weep because they had not used the blessing of the Lord as they should. They were hoarding their money and exploiting the poor. And before you say, I'm glad this sermon ain't for me because I'm not rich, I'd like you to tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't leave too quick. Because here are who I believe James is speaking to. Not just the excessively rich, but people ask me, what's your definition of prosperity? I'll tell you what I think it is. It's not having thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. I believe that prosperity is when we have enough and more than enough. What that difference is, not for me to judge. It's when our standard of living, we have enough money to meet all of our bills, put food on the table, and then there's some excess. So that's who he's talking to. Those who had some excess. But you know, you know what? People never think they have enough. Let me ask you a question, a little riddle. Who do you think is more content? A man with $1 million or a man with 12 kids? Who is more content? A man with $1 million or a man... How many say a man with $1 million? How many say a man with 12 kids? You're right, because he don't want no more. When they asked John D. Rockefeller, multiple millionaire, somebody asked him one day, how much is enough, Mr. Rockefeller? He said, just one more dollar. It wasn't until John D. Rockefeller was about to die, he was very sick, his doctor told him, if you don't change your life, you won't live much longer. Instead of being a taker, he now began to be a giver. He set up multiple foundations and charities, and he lived many more years. If you waste your riches on yourself, it will choke the life out of you. I only have 2 points to the message today, and the first one is to be generous. As Christians, we need a theology for living and giving in the last days. I want everybody to lean in because it's probably been a long time since anybody heard a preacher talk about the last days. It's probably been, I wonder if you can even remember when the last time you heard a preacher talk about the second coming of Jesus. But I want everybody in the room today to know that just as sure as he came the first time, he's coming again. Somebody ought to put your hands together and praise God. Did you know there are more scriptures about the second coming of Christ than his first coming? Make no mistake about it. In fact, I believe it was Peter who said in his second letter, he said in the last days, scoffers would come and they would say, where is the promise of his coming? We've been hearing this for generations. But make no mistake about it, everybody. We're not just living for today. We're living for eternity. And one day, a trumpet's going to sound so loud, it's going to raise the dead. And the Bible says, listen, here's a verse. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Do I have anybody hearing what I'm saying today? The Lord himself. He's not sending Peter or Mother Mary or Gabriel the angel. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming again. Praise God, everybody. Praise God. He is not leaving this world to the power of hungry potentates on this planet. Jesus is coming again. He's going to take His people home. But before He comes, there's work to do. I said there's work to do. You might wonder, James is talking, it may confuse you. He's talking about the last days, and yet it's the first century. The verse I just quoted to you, Paul said, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. The Apostle Paul was so convinced that he was living in the last days, he included himself in those who are alive and remain. The first century church lived with a constant expectation that Jesus could come back at any time. But we in the 21st century, it's the last thing on our mind. Preachers don't talk about it. Enter Russ. But we need to talk about it because knowing that Jesus is coming again ought to affect every area of our life. How we give, how we live. I said how we give and how we live. Not like God is unconcerned. We are so consumed with ourselves that we have forgot that there is a living God who has called us to live holy and to give and to live righteous before Him because He is coming again. I don't want Him to come back entrenched in some sin. I want Him to come back and I want Him to find faith in my life. I have a witness in the house today. The last days. So when are the last days? Well, the last days are from the time of the ascension of Jesus. After the resurrection, He ascended. From the time of the ascension until the second coming are the last days. We are living in the last of the last days. How do you know that, Pastor Russ? I want to share just a couple of scriptures. It's not up on the big screen, but I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad we're all here today so we can just pump the brakes a little bit and think there's more to life than going to school and getting married. Sure you want to do that? And get a job and get a career and retire and put some money away and die. There's more to it than that. When Jesus sat with His disciples, they said, Lord, tell us the sign of Your coming. What will be the sign of the end of the age? Jesus said, many will come in My name and say that I'm the Christ. He said, don't be deceived. And then He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And when I see the nations of the world posturing in the Pacific, my mind goes to the scriptures that nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, He said, and there will be earthquakes, many, many earthquakes in different places. He said, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. And then I look over to Timothy, and he writes, and he says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, ungiving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal. And when I read those words, and in America, how many mass shootings have there been? And I looked at a map of America, and it was a red dot everywhere in the last decade where someone had died of gun violence, and the map looked red. Brutal. Hateful. We're living in the last of the last days. And sometimes, I don't know if it ever crosses your mind, does it ever cross your mind to say, God, how much worse can it get? The Bible says in the last days, because sin will abound, the love of many would grow cold. In the last days, the Bible said, that there would be a falling away from the faith. I know that, yet the Bible promises an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, listen everybody, the Bible says that in the last days men would give heed to seducing teachings. Looking for teachers that tell them what they want to hear. Just so you know, I love you, but God didn't put me here to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. These are signs of His coming. And He said they would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We've had so many mass shootings that it blows my mind now when I turn on the news. It's not even the lead story anymore. Somewhere into the newscast, oh, there were 13 shot in a nightclub in California. I want you to know, everybody, that Jesus promised that this would happen. That in the last days, that men would become only evil continually. When we see that, we say, what's the world coming to? When we see these things, Jesus said, look up. I said, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. Because your redemption is coming closer and closer and closer. We're coming closer to the coming of the Lord. And sometimes I say, Lord, come quickly. And other times I say, no, not yet, not yet. Too many lost, too many living in darkness, too many broken, too many messed up, tore up from the floor up, and they need the gospel. Don't come yet, Lord. I know it would rescue me out of the sin-plagued world, but hold off, God, because the church has got a message that the world needs to hear. In light of the second coming of the Lord, I pray that when He returns, He will see us reflecting His values. And the brief time that we're here should affect how we play the game.
We hope you enjoyed the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.